It's the holiday season, so drink a drink and sing a song that you're too lazy to edit out. Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Defender Childhood. This week, you have told us that more than watching Arnold Schwarzenegger being a parent, you've decided to make us traumatized about Disney. So this month we're watching Bambi. I guess spoilers for the end of the episode. We're watching The Black Cauldron, and we have a Christmas surprise for you. If you're listening at the day this comes out, on Friday the 13th, we will be live streaming through Here Be Tigers' Patreon. That's right, Here Be Tigers and Friends on Patreon has a level where you get to listen to us do stupid stuff, and you'll get to listen to us record Myopia. Well, record is a strong word. We're going to be live streaming us watching the movie. Which seems like a whole bunch of a bad idea. But, you know, I've already agreed to do it, so it'll be a bad idea live. Anyway, so starting in January, we'll be doing some Patreon-only things, including starting the movie, a movie series, I guess, Aliens. And with that in mind, you know, subscribe now so you can be part of that. But otherwise, thanks for supporting, happy holidays, and enjoy Bambi. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, review us, you know the routine, guys. Thanks. Welcome to Myopia Defender Childhood. This week, we start our traumatic Disney month. Bambi, 1942's Bambi, something that's almost a movie. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defender Childhood, and on panel we've got...
Matthew W. Quinn, local author.
Hi, this is Daniel, and Nick, I'm pissed off at you. When we said we were doing Bambi, I was convinced we were going to do a Fellini softcore porn. Mm. This was not a Fellini softcore porn.
That must have come out almost the same time.
Yeah, probably about a decade or two after.
Yeah, well, we didn't.
No, we did not.
Although I'm sure some traumatic childhood happened where...
Somebody walked in during La Dolce Vita.
Yeah, right. This is our third movie with someone named Bambi in it. Second, Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah.
You guys voted for traumatic Disney movies. Thank you for the whatever dozens of you who voted. I thought this would be really traumatic. What were your thoughts on this? Like,
I had honestly... barely remembered any of it from when I was a kid. I mean, I definitely remember it being on TV at some point, but I did not retain anything from this movie.
Matt?
I remember some bits of it, like the surprisingly rapey deer.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The hunting dog and forest fire apocalypse.
Yeah, I still don't understand what was going on with that forest fire.
It's because people don't take the scout stuff seriously about cold out.
Well, you know what? Fuck you, Smokey the Bear. You could have seen Bambi, and you didn't.
If only they listened to Smokey the Bear.
Well, I mean, the other side is Matt brought up the scouts. They leave the campfire on, like, lit when they go hunting, is essentially what it is. Because there's no one in camp when the fire burns
out.
Yeah.
Tents are, so maybe they all got burned themselves, you know, karma.
Oh, we never see a person. They're probably dead.
Now, I think the only trivia from this I remember is when AFI was doing their lists for like 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And they like counted down the greatest villains in American cinema, and Man from this movie was one of them.
That is such a shitty cop-out.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was a kid, man, I used to love AFI lists. I don't know about you, but like, I was a film minor. We've mentioned that before. But like, I think the first round of AFI lists came out around the millennia, right?
1997, I think, was the first time that came around. And honestly, in retrospect, a lot of the stuff they included on there shouldn't have been included on there. It was pretty much just a collection of what won Best Picture in the 1940s.
There was like only two movies from like the 90s or 2000s. And like the best animated movies couldn't have been any more of like a Disney, like let's cuddle with Walt kind of moment. And this movie is boring as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fantasia, but with something resembling a plot. You know, the coming of age of a young deer.
You know what? I'd rather watch Fantasia 10 times before I ever see this again.
Let's not forget, Fantasia does have a plot. There's a character, like, and he's not the conductor, because the conductor is Stravinsky, I think.
I don't think it's... it was Leopold... what's his name? I just remember that scene where Mickey Mouse is going up and shaking the hands with the conductor.
Thanks, Leopold.
Yeah.
No,
thank you, Mickey.
Thank you,
Mr. Kokoschka. I forget what his name is, but it sounded like that. I just want to say, I just want to congratulate you. Ha ha.
I'm going to look it up because my brother would kill me. Oh, Stawowski.
That's it, Stawowski.
Leopold Stokowski.
Yes, him.
Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra, that's right.
Huge celebrity back in the day.
Well, he was. I mean, and there used to be things like celebrity composers and conductors, and we just don't care as humans anymore. But there was like a dude who was like the narrator teacher type who explained what was happening, and that's kind of what this was. Or Make Mine Music, or what is the one, like Saludos Amigos, where they go down to like, here are the different nations in Latin America who are going to ally, who are friends with now that World War II is happening.
The movie that Terry Gilliam borrowed the song Brazil from.
Exactly right. But that's what it is. There's kind of like a narrator that takes us on the tour of whatever. This is what this is. And this is not a movie. But Daniel, that's not going to stop you from giving us a plot synopsis.
It's about Bambi, who is apparently the prince of the forest. And we... meet him getting born, but his father, I guess, went out for a pack of smokes or something and barely is in this at all. And it's just about him growing up and avoiding the most dangerous hunter of all, man. And then eventually...
But not the second most dangerous hunter of all, lust.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, what is up with that song, like, right in the middle of this?
Oh, that's right. It's a classic R&B single called Let's Get It On.
Oh, yeah. That would have been something.
That deer's gonna get it wet.
No, it's literally a song that sounds like Walt Disney was holding the chorus at gunpoint and saying, okay, create something. It's like, we're creating a song to put in the middle of Bambi, a song about love and romance and, oh, God.
It's like...
White people.
And a grouchy old owl is telling everyone to stop bothering him.
Stop trying to get laid.
I can understand why hippies in the 60s would rent Prince out from Disney and just drop acid to these movies, because that owl, that scene where he's like got his face right up to the imaginary camera.
I before they filmed Animal House, they must have shown them this to like Dean Wormer. He's like, you're the crusty old owl. Let's just... You kids are going to fornicate. Stop fornicating.
You're out, Bambi. Finished at Faber.
Double secret boning probation.
Oh, that's what Thumper was clearly on.
Thumper lasts for all of 45 seconds before he gives out.
Thumper is a dick.
Thumper is a schmuck. He's that guy who walks into your house and goes, a little messy here. And you're just like, alrighty.
You're stinky. Deers are stupid. My mom says I'm not allowed to play with you or you'll steal my hubcaps.
His mother is making him repeat all his father's like slogans.
Let's go ahead and get into it. The main reason that people would have picked this movie as traumatic was because of the scene where Bambi's mom gets shot, right?
Well, and the fire scene at the end.
The fire scene at the end. I actually remember reading a Simpsons comic back in the day when Bongo used to publish those.
Do you remember those?
Uh-huh. And Matt Groening like wrote a list of the most memorable experiences he had in theaters, and one of them was like being a child and seeing Bambi and then thinking the theater caught fire.
Yeah. What I will say in this movie's favor is, as always with Disney, the animation. Everything about the animation is gorgeous. And at points, they're practically walking through a Matisse painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they first introduced the meadow, the interesting thing about the animation is how they layer the cells. Yes, the deer have texture. Yes, the deer are incredibly well done, except for the mom at some point turns into like a GIF. It's really crappy. But everything is so well done. It's actually quite impressive. It's also weird that almost all these other characters come back except for Bambi, right? Like, those rabbits are kind of the models for the rabbits throughout everything else. Like, when we did Robin Hood with the foxes, the rabbits who play prominently are all modeled on these rabbits very clearly.
Brand awareness. It's a powerful thing Disney's got.
Well, I mean, and you can always tell a... I started with Ralph Bakshi, but we shouldn't... The tits on that deer. Oh,
Ralph Bakshi's Bambi. That would have been something.
Oh, furries.
Oh, my God. He would have sucked the end of that gun
so
hard. So
it would have taken place in 1960s Harlem. Uh-huh. Bambi would have been a white kid who's traveling there.
Oh, and the whole dad out for smokes? Totally. The mom was methed out, right?
And there wouldn't have been any other animals except crows.
There would have been a lot of crows, and it would not have been subtle. And Thumper would have been a lynx, and it would have been right out of Felix the Cat.
Yep.
And
better than Fritz the Cat, I suppose.
That is what Ralph Bakshi is famous for.
That is his.
Robert Crumb did the comics, and then they adapted it into a movie, and Ralph Bakshi's the guy who directed that movie.
I have seen it. It is something.
He saw it, and he survived. That would explain quite a lot.
It's pornography. It's straight up pornography.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, except somehow even more created on acid.
If you're okay with the nudity, it is quite funny, but it is a lot of weird animal nudity.
I don't think it's really... I don't remember it being that funny. I just remember Fritz being a dick.
He is. Okay, so I'm wrong. His mom is not on meth. She's a love child, like a hippie. She's a star child type, right? She's got, like, Fellini-esque boobs, and she's not wearing a bra the whole time. That's Bakshi's Bambi, right?
Pretty much.
And Bambi's kind of okay with it. You don't know why? And then his dad is wearing the American flag on a leather jacket.
With the frills that Peter Fonda had in Easy Rider.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, nope, that's what it is. And when Man comes up, it's like someone that the dad owes $20 to.
Oh, it's Nixon. That's who Man is.
So the forest is Cambodia, and this is all some sort of giant metaphor?
Oh my God, you're right. And you have a bunch of like groundhogs running through wearing helmets that like say Born to Die on the back of them.
Yeah. You know what?
Better movie.
I kind of want to see this
movie. Yes,
it's
a better movie.
I kind of want to see Ralph Bakshi's Bambi now.
Make a blog post explaining how you would have done it.
No, please, God.
I've heard there's an individual out there who does that all the time. Matt, why don't you tell us about him?
Well, he's me, and I am the master who needs an apprentice, Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, I tried to kill that Bambi mom.
Well, I'll plug this at the end, but we're coming out with a Patreon. There's new stuff coming in January, including a newsletter. Is it called the Myopia Prescription?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
That's what it's called.
And part of the Myopia Prescription has to be, Matt, you've got to punch up one of the movies, and I think this is your punch up.
Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of got
to
be.
What this is, compared to what Disney's done, is all those nature documentaries.
Yes.
This has clearly influenced all of those like National Geographic things that have been released.
When I was a kid, there was a movie I saw called The Bear. I think it was a French movie about this bear cub that's orphaned and gets adopted by this older bear, and they have kind of adventures.
So it was a French movie. Are you sure? Wasn't called Le Bear.
Yeah. L'Oiseau. But, or Homeward Bound, yeah. Or Milo and Otis.
Well, those were more interesting, though, because...
they were
those
movies.
Those are actual animals, too. So it's like, okay, it's interesting to see how people are constructing their lives into a traditional narrative that humans would understand, because obviously they don't. But it worked, and this was just... It's more of a tech demo than a movie.
So this is where I get boring and historical, because that's all I am as a PhD. There was this thing in the 1880s where people would, I guess, take cocaine and then decide they would argue about something. And one of the big things was whether or not horses ever went off the ground with all four hooves at once. Mm-hmm. So they went to Kentucky Downs, and I'm going to get all the history wrong, but this dude invented a kind of camera that takes a whole bunch of shots in relative perspective. So you could see the horse as it ran by at full gallop. And turns out there is moments where all four hooves are off the ground.
That was the first movie camera, really, wasn't it?
Effectively. And it didn't really work like a movie camera because there was actually like 25 or 30 cameras set up at once.
Right. But it was that motion, though.
So it was like the Matrix shot where they have all the cameras, a big ring.
Basically, yes.
That's what it is. And so you have like... essentially a stack three high of cameras as the horse ran by to get it as shot as instantaneously as possible. That's what this looks like to me, right? All of this is they figured out weird film techniques to see animals in the wild and film them and then try to illustrate it. There didn't need to be a plot. Again, this could have been Fantasia's segment.
Now, this is based on a book, though, because all of Disney's stuff was, right?
Yeah, it was plagiarized.
Oh, well, I mean, all of Stanley Kubrick's stuff was based on books, too, so I don't know if we can give Disney too much shit, but has anybody read the book?
I might have read one of them a long, long time ago.
Is this close to what you remember?
I can't even remember. This would have been, like, preschool or early elementary, maybe.
Oh, yeah. You drank all those memories away, didn't you, Matt?
That seems like it. Yeah, but I looked this up. It's a 1923 Austrian book called Bambi Life in the Woods. It's...
Again, are we sure this isn't a Fellini softcore porn?
Right. It's called My Life with the Führer, a frolic through Austria and Poland.
So we've actually got a copy here, and I'm just going to read the first page. Out on the hill lived a lonely goat, Yodelehi, Yodelehi, Yodelehi who?
I thought it was a goat herd.
I don't give a fuck. That's a shitty movie anyway.
Let him land a joke, Matt. It's okay. It's okay.
Stop touching me.
I didn't. In fact, he's touching
me.
Didn't.
He's talking to me, clearly.
But you just have to skip ahead to chapter 23 when they invade Poland. And then, really picks up there.
Well, in the American version, they cut the last chapter. But in the original Austrian version, Bambi renounces his evil ways with his droogs and promises to raise a good family. Matt's laughing, so he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
After they wire his eyes open.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, and then he acknowledges that the Nazi Ubermensch are their overlords.
Again, a good Simpsons joke there. Yeah. What's the Meyer family that created Itching Scratchy?
That's right. Oh, God, it's something Meyer.
George Meyer, I think?
Yeah, George Meyer Sr. From his much beligned cartoon, Nazi Superman
are superiors.
Pinocchio Itchy. Anyway, there's not much to talk about here, though, overall. Act 1, Scene 1. They make fun of him for not being able to walk. Thumper gets uninvited from the royal family.
Well, it's a lot like the opening of The Lion King. In a lot of ways, it's all the animals coming to see the birth of the new prince, except in The Lion King, that felt like this epic grand event. It's like, oh, all right, well, it's just a bunch of... it could have been taken place on an elementary school stage for all the acting
that's going
on. Yeah, the
great prince of the forest is such an absentee dad that Bambi's mother is so stressed out she leaves all parental duties to Thumper,
who's
just
much.
Loud and obnoxious.
I'm bringing this up for a reason. 1937, Snow White, right?
Right.
Famous story. You know, it's George Lucas. He nearly loses everything. He takes out extra money from the bank. It comes out as a masterpiece. He makes his money back tenfold.
The budget for Snow White was greater than what his company was worth.
And then it became a masterpiece. I mean, Goebbels liked it. Goebbels!
And Sergei Eisenstein said it was the best film ever made.
Well, I mean, it's an excellent film. Then you have 1940 is Pinocchio. 3 years later, again, hands-on masterpiece. Clear. 1940 also is Fantasia.
Hands-on masterpiece.
Not at first. Well, it is a masterpiece, but it didn't catch on. No.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of money at first.
Then The Reluctant Dragon, everyone's favorite, followed by Dumbo in 1941 as well. So 2 and 41, 2 and 40, and then Bambi, and then Saludos Amigos and Victory Through Air Power, and then The Three Caballeros all within 18 months.
Victory Through Air Power, which one's that?
That's Victory Through Air Power. It's the Air Force like propaganda film.
Back when Donald Duck was in that cartoon saying Heil Hitler.
Yeah, the Führer's face.
Yes, that era.
Which is also a masterpiece. But I bring that. No, that it won the Academy Award.
No, it did. But yeah. I mean, it's just so funny whenever you find that now. It's like, because they tried so hard to bury it.
Leonard Maltin and I were chatting on Twitter about this, actually. He, in the 1990s, they restored all these.
Right.
And he did the introduction to each of the shorts. That needs to be on Disney Plus. We're doing Disney because Disney is Disney. You guys are liking it because it's Disney Plus now, and we watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I want these intros. I want these context clues. They now give this weird warning that some cultural depictions may be super duper racist. Fine. But I want someone to explain it to me. I don't want to read a clip. Well, allow me to see Leonard, man. I love Leonard Maltin.
Do they have that before Dumbo with the Jim Crow character?
They sure do.
Oh, boy.
I brought those up to say, clearly, Dumbo was the one that he was paying attention to, right? Dumbo's an excellent film. It's got its racist problems. The year before, it was clearly Fantasia. Here, you could tell he was passing it off on someone else because he was working on Dumbo, and he was working on Three Caballeros and Victory Through Air Power.
Strangely enough, I checked IMDb, and the trivia said this was Disney's personal favorite of like all the stuff that he did.
Maybe it's his art film. I don't know. It's not a movie. We can agree that it is not a movie. Frozen 2, now that's a movie. I took my daughter to see it. It's her first theater movie. I cried through half of it. We're fine.
Oh,
we're all fine.
That's going to be an important moment for the two of you.
It should be. Better be. So I mean,
why were you crying exactly, Nick? You don't have to answer that question.
Oh no, I just don't want to give spoilers, but
yeah,
there's emotional stuff in there.
All right.
You know, when Anna goes on that killing spree and is holding the severed head of her sister Elsa and just telling her why, you know, and
the severed head is still talking.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's mostly a dream sequence after they've done all the blow at the end, and you know.
What do you think of that scene where Elsa goes through the Stargate and then comes out the other side as a giant baby over Earth?
It's full of stars.
When Sven is being cradled by Kristoff, and Kristoff is going, "Say it with me now. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay." After the hunter shoots him, hey. Bambi said,
"Well, the whole reason that this
and
is
the hunter is Prince Hans.
Oh, there you go.
So it's entirely fitting he gets burned to death.
Tapestry.
Well, the whole reason that anybody remembers this is because of the scene where Bambi's mother is killed, right?
Yeah. So after Bambi grows up, develops, starts to be able to walk and talk, we are introduced to the meadow.
He says, "Bird." That is a dramatic moment. Bird. That takes about 3 minutes.
Bird is the word. No. No.
I'm not doing it.
That was the end of the line. After that, they go to the meadow for the first time for grazing land. It's a beautiful, wonderful time. Everyone runs around. And then all of a sudden, the birds freak out because there is movement on the tree line. And everyone makes a break for it because after the bucks have run through and we're introduced to the king of the forest or the prince of the forest, whatever.
The great prince, I think he's
called.
The
great prince.
I don't know.
Because they're animals, man. You can't give them full kingship. That'd be stupid. Mm. Stupid.
They lack the proper inbreeding to be princes.
Yeah, well, at this point, best we can tell, the prince of the forest has nailed everyone. Because he just walks up to to every doe he sees and goes, "My son." And just because he knows. He has been with every woman in this movie. Thumper might be his.
Well, he's definitely had sex with Flower, even though Flower is a dude.
Flower.
"You can call me Flower." She's still voiced by a woman even as an adult, and it's really...
Yep.
I was like, and it said female skunk. I'm like, wait, I literally goes, wait, wasn't Flower the female skunk?
See, no. I thought that this was all about some great representation in early Disney films. And then we realized, you know, Flower's supposed to be a guy.
Well, yeah, they're not going to represent anyone.
Not unless you're white.
Well, I mean, this is 1940. They weren't doing too well in Germany at this point either.
Well, I mean, 10 years later, what? It was Disney was ratting out his animators to Joseph McCarthy.
He was. Tim Burton was first on that lift, but he wasn't born yet.
Yeah. And Don...
There's a weird one who's drawing weird pictures.
Don Bluth was probably on there too, let's be honest.
Don Bluth was the one I was trying to think of earlier when I said Ralph Bakshi. No, because it wasn't perverted. I was saying that they each have a type. If I showed you a random picture of a cat, you could tell if it was Bluth, if it was Bakshi, or if it was Disney, right? Even if they didn't have a cat character, you'd recognize, okay, this is a Don Bluth, right? Is it being voiced by a petulant child? Is it being voiced by a fat comedian? Well, then it's Don Bluth. That's all I got. I'm out of... My tight five on Don Bluth.
Well, I mean, we keep going into that whole scene with Bambi's mom getting killed, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's
so,
supposed to be the climax. And do you mind if I go ahead and talk
no,
about
I mean,
what
please. They when
spoilers
winter,
for an 80-year-old movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, after the first scene where they run away from man, it becomes winter, and then they go back to eat grass in the meadow, and Bambi's mom go.
Yeah, and they find some spring grass, and then. Man comes back and she's like telling Bambi to run, and then Bambi keeps running, and then we hear a gunshot, and suddenly Bambi's mom ain't behind him no more.
Bambi's mom dies off screen, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
We need him holding her corpse. We need her to discover her corpse. Cronenberg's Bambi.
Well, that would be a half man, half deer.
Yeah.
Also known as Bambo.
No, I mean, that's like...
And it would have psychic powers and make people's heads explode. That'd be Cronenberg's Bambi.
No, what we need is Chris Columbus's Bambi, where they, like, sets up a house of horrors to kill the men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He butchers all of them.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Chris Columbus directed Home Alone.
I know that, but I'm going from kind of more ironic. You know, maybe like Saw, you know, he's butchering the hunters and like hanging
Wan, James Wan's.
Oh boy, there we go.
Yeah, right. Well, or it could be like Hostel and no one wants to see it.
Well, here's the biggest thing behind the death of the mom, which I know for not even boomers, but like the generation before, that was like a highly traumatic incident. It's kind of just weird how it plays out, because it's there's just no real emotional moment that we get. Like when Mustafa gets killed in The Lion King, right? We see his corpse. We see Simba going up to it. We see him calling for help. We see him starting to cry when he realizes what's happened. Here, 90% of it is just, I can't even see it because it's covered in snow.
Well, and there's no exposition.
Right.
Like, she's barely established as a person. And the great prince of the forest who comes out and gets Bambi out of there.
Oh, yeah. Your mother can't be with you anymore.
He sounded like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, Liam Neeson is older than time itself. It may have been Liam Neeson. Every 20 years, he changes his name and changes his brogue. It is your mother. She is gone.
He's like an Irish version of Highlander.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Although, if I recall correctly, the Highlander was French, and
a Frenchman playing a Scotsman who
didn't change his accent. And then, no.
I am the immortal. I am the one.
And then,
by Mortal Kombat, he's become a god.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's a promotion.
But yeah, also, immediately after that scene with the mom getting killed and, you know, the Bambi's dad coming out and saying, your mother can't be with you anymore, it immediately cuts to springtime and there's like this happy song in the background.
And everyone's hit puberty.
Yeah, basically. It's like, what about the emotional weight and how did this impact Bambi? I have no idea.
Well, that's luckily, why I had the 2006 interquel on Bambi 2.
Oh, good Lord.
Also known as the emotionally emo cash grab.
You know what? Emo Bambi. That would have been something. Bambi in his teenage years with a fringe.
Wearing eyeliner.
Listening to My Chemical Romance all day. I'm kind of getting behind this. A lot of opportunities for a crossover there.
Well, here's the problem, though. A thing called High School Musical exists. And you know, it would have been like the goth from High School Musical. Like, it would have just been a bunch of Hot Topic t-shirts.
I have not seen a single frame of High School Musical, and I'm happy for it.
Yeah, but it's all to say it's the same time period. It would have been the happy-go-luckiest, the littlest goth.
You know, the guy who directed High School Musicals, the guy who directed Hocus Pocus, right?
I thought you were going to say it was involved in a murder-suicide.
No. Well, I mean, murder-suicide, he was Michael Jackson's choreographer for his last tour, so hey.
Yeah, there you go. I know you particularly hate Hocus Pocus, as we've declared.
I don't hate it necessarily, I just don't get why it's so popular.
I'm surprised Aaron hasn't killed you yet.
Well,
she has several times, actually.
The weird thing about Hocus Pocus, of all things, you're right, it's not that it's bad, it's just... There needs to be, I guess, more PG Halloween movies or something. I think it's fine. I rewatched it this year. I don't hate it.
It's great to show to kids. It's perfect to show to kids. But I feel like Elaine in that Seinfeld episode with the English Patient. Remember that?
Yeah, no, I get you. I just think the problem is, it's actually, ironically enough, it makes me wonder if this generation is not going to grow up with the Goosebumps movies the same way. You know, like the Jack Black ones? Because they're not scary, but they're kind of creepy, and they're little kid movies, but it's just that there's nothing wrong with Hocus Pocus. They're a little bit creepy, and Bette Midler, it's got a pretty good cast, so maybe in 20 years something similar will be big. It's just, yeah, for me it's a weird one. It's just that as millennials get older, we want to rewatch it, and we're reliving our childhood through Disney Plus.
I think that's why Hocus Pocus stuck around for so long. It just makes people feel young.
And Disney never cared about it, so it never went into the vault, really.
It was a Halloween movie that got released during the summer.
Since it never went into the vault, we had access to it.
Yeah.
You know, if it had gone into the vault for 10 years, like, say, a Goofy movie did, it probably wouldn't have an audience. Speaking of people who don't deserve an audience, hey, Bambi. I don't know. I mean, essentially, there's 5 acts to this movie, right? Or 6 acts to this movie. 'Cause he's born in spring. Then you have the summer in the meadow. Then you have fall that turns into winter. And then you have his mom killed in winter because that's sad. And then in the spring again, he's kind of an adult and everyone's horned up and they start banging. And then in the summer, the hunters come back and then there's a fire. And then it ends in the fires of hell. And then 6 months happens.
Well, there's that scene like during the last bit where, and this was watching it now, the only traumatic part to me, when that pheasant gets scared while hiding in the brush. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
She has like PTSD and she starts freaking out.
And then she goes to fly away and then is immediately gunned down.
And then, after that starts the chaos of the third act, right? Like, her horrible death of her, like, oh my God, they're coming to get me. Oh my God, they're coming to get me. Had Disney cared about Jewish people? This is a scene out of, like, The Diary of Anne Frank, right?
You're not wrong.
Right? Like, she freaks out. She alerts the hunters to where everyone else is. And then there's a massacre. I mean, and they're shooting at squirrels and shit. These people are drunk off their ass, and they are firing at everyone.
Now, I think all of us growing up in this region of the country have at least met one of these hunters, right?
I've met several hunters.
Yeah, yes. Right. And you know what? If you're a hunter and you're hunting for venison, fine, power to you. But I don't really see them as an object of fear.
Well, these are weird, because if you're a hunter and you're hunting for a certain thing.
Right.
These guys are drunks just shooting at everything, right? Like, the pheasant they kill, fine. But they're also hunting for deer. They open up on the squirrels. They open up the little bluebirds. These dudes are just out to murder.
Yeah.
They're the worst. Also, you don't kill does. I mentioned this one.
You did.
You kill the bucks. Like, that's the point, right? I mean, Bambi kind of gets shot, but then he's cured magically by
his dad berating him.
Who's just going, right! I mean, it's a metaphor, because he's Jesus. And God tells Jesus not to be crucified, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's how that works.
He's already crucified on the bullets.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. That's like an NRA Christmas card. Or I guess an Easter card.
Does the NRA still have the money to send out Christmas cards?
They do not. They 100% do not. I've never been freer to talk about the NRA, but I don't want to give them the press. Mm. I guess this becomes Scientology for a second. The bullet doesn't matter. Your weakness is what's making you lie down. Rise!
Yeah.
Anyway, they all get out of the forest. They swim to an island. Apparently, he immediately consummates it with Feline. And then the next time we see her, she's had two children.
Yep.
They might have consummated it somewhat earlier, because we see them lying together and then he goes wandering off.
Oh, that's right. Dude, he goes out to get smokes. And then a fire starts caused by man. It reminds me of the
man has not been reading the Boy Scout manual, because they leave the fire unattended.
Man was clearly drunk on Bud Light at the time that they were doing everything, so they left the fire unattended.
Which weird fake Indian word was it for the fire? Was it the firem chit? The totem chit?
The totem chit was knives. The fire, I can't even remember.
I'm sure it was something weird and like fake Native American sounding. Yeah, the firem chit.
God bless you.
It's like fireman with an apostrophe.
Yeah, farm shit.
Now, I do want to say one thing. We've been shitting on this movie a whole lot, but the animation, like the actual craft that went into making this, is amazing.
And okay, so this is weird, but in the Criterion version of Yellow Submarine, yeah, I know, you can listen to the movie without any of the dialogue and just listen to the soundtrack. That's what this needs.
That was probably a better movie.
Take out the words, just listen to the incredible orchestral score with this beautiful background, because it's almost plays out like Peter and the Wolf, where everyone has an instrument, everyone has a little melody, they compose this music around it. It's only 70 minutes. That's all you need.
They should have done interstitials like in silent films.
But instead, you get Thumper saying, "You're funny looking!
You're wobbly."
Yeah. Yeah. "You're still wobbly!" That lady.
And you have no inside voice, Thumper.
To be fair, he lives in the woods. There's no concept of inside.
I thought you were going to say he's a child, but...
No.
He seems older than Bambi.
I mean, it's...
Well, he is.
Right?
Because he's present at Bambi's birth.
At the virgin birth.
Except not quite so virgin.
No comment. Yeah.
Bambi died for our sins.
Oh my God, can you imagine... Pontius Possum comes up and condemns him to death.
Oh, the owl is Pontius Pilate, let's be honest.
No, the owl is Judas.
What is...
The owl is Judas telling Pontius Possum where Bambi is. He's over there, he's humping.
For a bag of corn.
I can imagine the owl being Pontius Pilate, you know, instead of what is truth, what is Twitter patient?
Oh, yeah, that whole weird bit, which I didn't even know that was a word. I thought...
It's not. Apparently, this movie effectively made it up.
Well, it was about 70 years too early, if we're going to talk about Twitter.
And patient.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Twitter is just one of the many things that modern man uses to have sex.
Yeah, right? Thumper comes up.
Man is in the forest means something very different in the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, right. Thumper comes up. Mailed this joke to 3 minutes ago. Thumper comes up and said, "One greater than me will come soon. I am not worthy to bathe him."
Oh, God. 1,000 years from now, can you imagine, like, some weird cult using Bambi as their scripture?
This is casting demons out of Mary Feline and...
Oh, the hunting dogs are the demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the man tempted him in the meadow for 40 days.
Yes, while Bambi fasted.
In the winter months.
Okay, well, apparently that's what this movie is. In 1,000 years, this is going to be the new scripture for civilization.
Well, I mean, based on some of the people I know who go to Disney every 20 minutes, it's pretty much there. A Passion of the Bamb.
But then what do you have to get
the
shot?
The Bamb of God.
The Passion of the Bamb. So what do you have to get shot like over and over and over and over again?
No, he just has to get shot once, but then he has to come back to life in 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the Passion story is that Jesus didn't last as long as other people.
Yeah.
Well, I was commenting on the movie The Passion of the Christ, the really long whipping scene.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Well, Bambi just gets shot over and over and over.
That's where we have this scene directed by, I don't know, James. Who directed the Hostel movies?
Eli Roth.
Yeah, Eli Roth's Bambi is The Passion of the Bamb.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
About cannibal deer coming to eat Bambi.
Well, there is that deer that tries to drag away Feline.
Oh, yeah. You even said that was in the sequel, right?
The sequel, you meet him as a child. And he's a trouble even then. But
oh, boy.
All you see in this one is just a scowling, nasty creature that chases Bambi off and tries to drag Feline off.
You brought this up when I pitched this as the movie for the creepy. Is this like a TV trope or something? Or did you remember that?
I remember because I didn't remember when I saw it when I was a kid, but I did not expect to see that in the movie. Scene that's based for all intents and purposes an attempted rape.
Well, right, but you mentioned it to me before we watched the movie. That's why I'm asking you.
Because I did not. I think I was surprised this was in there because I did not remember that when I was like 5.
Hey, speaking of attempted rape by deer, I'm surprised it was in there.
So we're out of time. Daniel, I'll go to you first. Would you recommend this?
First and foremost, if you say this was traumatic, then you're either really old or really wimpy.
Yeah.
Look, the early Disney films, their animation and skill involved in making those is beautiful. The animation in this is amazing. It doesn't matter, though, because there's no story to go along with it. It's basically a tech demo for the animators. Which, if you are interested in animation history, you should check out Disney's early stuff. But even at the time, I still don't know if he was really an effective storyteller. And this movie shows the lapses he had when it came to making me sympathetic for his characters.
Matt?
It's not really that entertaining. It looks nice in some places, but it comes off like a Fantasia skit.
Yeah.
Everyone was on their phones in this. Like, we couldn't... It didn't hold our attention
Your
at all.
Your daughter was on her 3-year-old phone.
Yeah, no, she was just running around asking to be played with because she was bored as hell. This is boring. It's a very boring movie. Pinocchio's 2 years before, and that's a great movie. Things happen. Nothing happens in this movie.
Well, speaking of trauma, I mean, the scene where Lampwick turns into a donkey is horrifying.
Yeah, it's Cronenberg's...
Yeah, Cronenberg's Pinocchio.
Yeah, I posted that on Twitter a million years ago, and everyone liked that, because it's what it is. Like, he looks in a mirror and is horrified at what he sees. It's right out of Videodrome. Like, it's incredible. But yeah, I mean, even that's almost like a Fantasia, like, because you don't hold on a scene for more than 10 minutes. You just hop, hop, hop. This is nothing. I thought I was scared by the mother being shot. Apparently I just didn't want to rewatch it because it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Disney Plus, give it 10 minutes. You'll get everything you need. Really. Like, once you're done with the song April Showers, that's where there's the first rainstorm and the thunderstorm. It's beautiful. You'll get the animation. And if you're in for the animation, that will convince you. If you're not, turn it off. It's a hair over an hour and it's a waste of time otherwise. But since Daniel alluded, we're not going to do Pinocchio. That's why he's talking about it. Instead, in 2 weeks' time, we will be doing something that Disney was embarrassed by and they threw into the vault. We're going to be watching The Black Cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion of Fox and the Hound was shot down, so I guess stay tuned for that in a future month. Because nothing like having to help murder your friends.
Nothing like...
Scorsese's Fox and the Hound.
Oh, well, that's, I think, already been made. That was The Departed, you know, because the fox would be a master thief, and then the hound would be a detective who makes friends with the thief. Actually, that's Heat. Never mind.
That's Heat. And then, of course, the fox meets up with the hound in a coffee shop, and it's a scene everyone wanted for decades, apparently, and no one could be bothered.
And then, of course, the hound gets gut shot, but has to pretend to be a fox, and then he spends the rest of the movie dying and bleeding up until he shoots another, like, you know, Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, no. I mean, and nothing, of course, is
and
quite
does
like...
And someone get their ear cut off, the tune of Stuck in the Middle with You.
Not to the tune of Stuck in the Middle with You.
The Man in Me. Because it's ironic. And no one can stomp quite like that dog. So stay tuned in 2 weeks when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Why Hope You Defend Your Childhood is a product of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman,
produced by Nick Hoffman, Daniel Suttis, and Matthew Quinn, and edited by Daniel Suttis. Our theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons license by Attribution 3.0 license.